Welcome to TFP, the Theater Folk Podcast. I am Lindsay Price, resident playwright for Theater Folk. Hello, I hope you're well. Thanks for listening. Today, we're talking names and taking no prisoners or something like that. But first, let's do some Theater Folk news. Okay, it's the second week. There's no news. It's December. But what I will say is that you should stay tuned for next week's podcast, where Craig and I curl up by the YouTube fire and talk about Les Mis. I have had a long, long history with this musical. I wore out the tape. Yes, that's how old I am. The tape that I had when I was 17. And Craig is kind of a new convert. He's got a, there was a great big concert, a huge concert, where Alfie Beau was playing, Jean Valjean, and one of the Jonas Brothers was Marius, and he's been playing that quite a bit on his iPod. And of course, unless you've been under a rock, or you don't care about Les Mis, which is, of course, quite possible, you know that the movie, in all caps, is coming out on Christmas Day, and there has been a lot of talk about the movie and who is starring in the movie, and I still can't quite wrap my head around Anne Hathaway as Fantine. It's not doing it for me, but, you know, who knows? Could be great. In any case, Craig and I are going to talk next week about the musical, so join us for that. Lastly, where, oh, where can you find this podcast? We post new episodes every Wednesday at theaterfolk.com and on our Facebook page and Twitter. You can find us on the Stitcher app, and you can subscribe to TFP on iTunes. All you have to do is search on the word Theater Folk. Episode 21. We're playing the name game. So, I have a confession to make. I, Lindsay Price, am obsessed about the names of the characters in my play. I am very obsessed. I am obsessed to the extreme. Naming is a big part of the writing process for me. It is a huge part, especially at the beginning when I'm just starting to write. When I'm just starting to form this shapeless amoeba into something with a beginning, middle, and end, one of the first things I do, which makes me feel like I'm on the right path, is I start writing a play, and I start thinking about who the people are in this play, is giving them names. Giving a character a name is like, in a very artsy-fartsy kind of way, but it's kind of like bringing them to life. It makes them seem like a human being. You know, we all, names are pretty important to us. You know, whether we like our names or we hate our names or our names mean something or we go by a nickname, or a name can just say so much about a character and about us. And when I'm writing, I want to be able to see and hear that character. And if they're nameless, it just doesn't work for me. This is my little problem to bear. So, and I just find it's that much harder to move forward with my writing when my characters are just swimming around in the nameless void, or worse, if they end up with the wrong name. And sometimes I'll counter this. I'll go in the complete opposite direction. I just wrote a play last year called Chicken Road, in which very purposefully the characters were numbers, so they, none of them had names. And it was very interesting to me how that worked in the writing process. I had to really, really work to visualize these characters and make them individuals, even though I was purposefully not making them individuals in the final text, if that makes sense. And sometimes when I'm writing, it's really clear when I've given a character the wrong name. You know, it comes to light that as I'm writing it, it's not a good fit, it's not a good match. And sometimes my characters, sometimes they go through like three or four names to find the right fit. It's, you know, as I said, it's obsessive. The name must fit. And as I think I just basically alluded to, but this is theater we're writing, right? And so it's important that that naming process is part of the whole part and parcel, and that it's not just a throwaway thing. I think character names should be symbolic in some way. They have to mean something. It doesn't have to be a big thing. Names could be representative of a personality, or a name could act in contrast to their personality. I really like sometimes giving, you know, if it's an ugly character, giving them a very pretty name, or if it's a, you know, somebody who's very, you know, a beautiful person, not necessarily giving them a name that matches. You know, sometimes working on in opposites is fun. Sometimes it's very suitable to give a character a stereotypical name, which either the character lives up to or fights against. We all get a picture in our heads sometimes when we hear a name, we think a certain type of character, and that can be very useful. That can be very useful in terms of introducing a character, give them a name, and everybody goes, "Ugh, I know exactly what that person is like." That can be helpful in just sort of jumping a story ahead. I find that extremely helpful in short plays, for example, because then you don't really have to do much explanation writing. The name says it all. And it also could be, there's so many things that names could come from, you know. It could be a cultural name. It could be a name that not necessarily tells you something about the character, but tells you something about the character's parents. There's a lot of reasons why a parent names a kid a certain thing. So, for example, I have a play called Sweep Under Rug, in which there are two sisters, and they have very pretty names. They have Ariel and Miranda. And these are also character names from Shakespeare's The Tempest. And these names are very specifically chosen, because even though we never meet the mother character, she's talked about a lot, and then at one point she actually abandons the house. She runs. And she's portrayed by other characters as someone who is lazy, who is devious, who's not to be trusted, not able to look after her children. And that's one view of her. And then on the other side, there's this mother whose favorite book is a Shakespeare play and used to read it to her daughters when they were younger. And it meant so much to her that she named her girls from this play. You know, she had a one-time love of art. So it's something to give pause. You know, people are not always black and white. And it's a very, very tiny detail. And you really have to know The Tempest to know that's where the names come from, but it's not necessary to understand that part of the puzzle to understand the play as a whole. It's an addition to the big picture. But I knew that, and I knew where it came from, and therefore it made a big difference to me when I was writing and when I was creating these characters, and that is something that's going to help the play. And if it helps the play, that means it's going to help future productions and future audiences. So, obsessive. These are some of the things I think about. Because frankly, the possibilities are endless. And there's other things too I have to think about when it comes to naming characters. There's the whole technical aspect of the sound of a name. Again, this is theater. That means there is no silent reading. That means it's going to be said aloud. It's going to be said in conversation. What does it sound like when the name is said emphatically? What does it sound like when it's in an said lovingly? Does the name have a short form or an organic nickname? Or does it have a very harsh nickname, which I don't really want to bring up? I also don't want too many of the same sounding type of names in a play if I can help it. I think that distracts, you know? So if there's a Brittany, I'm really not too interested in there being a Brianna and a Brenda, unless it's a specific choice. Unless having the sound of 3B names helps the play. A musical called Shout, and there's a barbershop quartet called the Buzzy Bees, and the group name came about because, well, they all have names that begin with B. So it makes sense, right? And another one, the play that I'm currently working on. It's very in the beginning stages, but it's going to have a set of fraternal twins. And so right away, I'm thinking about names that start with the same letter. I'm going to go down that route. But these particular characters, they're secondary characters. And with the secondary characters, it's important that they're gender neutral. And that's another technical element that comes up all the time, particularly in my genre, in the large cast high school plays. There always needs to be some flexibility with gender so directors can fit the play to the students they have available. So it's all the question of writing characters that can be explored in one direction and equally in another, which is a fascinating puzzle for a completely other podcast. So for these characters, I need names that are going to fit. If the characters are, the twins are two girls, two guys, or a guy-girl combo. Needless to say, I spend hours on baby name sites. I spend a lot of time on thesaurus.com because I'm looking for different ways to express a character's personality, and maybe I'll come up with some funky version that could be, letters could be rearranged and turned into a name. I'll also spend a lot of time on Google Translate because I'll do the same thing. I'll look up personality traits and see what the word looks like in another language. Latin is also a awesome place to start. And which is just insanely fun if the play is futuristic or takes place to the left of reality, you know, where human sounding names are necessarily needed. Another play that I'm working on has a group of main characters and they're all beginners. So I looked up variations of the word beginner or novice, and one word that I came up with, which is a perfect sounding name, but it's the word Tyro. And I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, and I don't even care, because it's just a neat-sounding name, regardless of its origin, and I know what it means, and I can say it means beginner, it means what you are. Now, going off on a tangent on that, telling people about where the name origins come from, is that I spend all this time on names at the beginning of the process. Right? So it's fair to say that if I'm working on a play now, like for example, I'm working on the first draft of a full length now, it's not going to be produced for a year, right? It's going to take that time. I'm going to workshop it. I'm going to make you do 2-3 drafts. It's going to be a year. And it's inevitable that whenever a year goes by, that an actor will ask me, where did my character's name come from? And there's always a reason, and there's always a purpose, but so much time has passed that I will forget the origin stories. By the end of the process, I'm focused on the play as a whole, and frankly, I don't have a big brain. My brain is not big enough to handle all this information. My brain spends too much time on useless information. Why should I remember the important stuff like where my characters' names come from? There's only so much room. Character names, go. So that is always an embarrassing moment when someone asks me, and I know it's meaningful and I know that it's important, and I cannot for the life of me remember. One of the best places I've found to find names is the conferences that I go to, because everyone usually has their name on a big badge hanging around their neck. So for me, for an observer of mankind, for someone who gathers names, you know, like picking fruit, it's like Christmas. Sometimes I just cannot contain my my excitement and my glee at seeing the most perfect name that I know would fit so awesome in a play. And sometimes it's because I just see a whacked out name. I cannot believe what some people name their kids. I get in awe. The worst thing, though, is when I'm leading a workshop, or talking to someone, and it really is the most inappropriate time to whip out a piece of paper and write the name down. Because what am I going to say? Oh, you know, do you mind? Your name is so weird. Do you mind if I write it down? Like, I've never been able to figure out how to make that a natural procedure, you know. So then I tell myself, oh, I'll remember it. Oh, you know, oh, I don't have a piece of paper. I'll remember it later, but I never do because I have the small brain with the very small memory. I'm spending most of my time with the useless information. Why should I remember, you know, the important stuff like writing? Right. So I was recently at a conference, came across a couple of very awesome names. Let me share a couple with you. So, cinnamon. I have never seen, I've seen, basil or basil, depending on where you're from. But cinnamon, which leads very nicely into brie, which I've seen a lot of, but this one was spelled like the cheese. And it feels really weird to me to have your kid named after cheese. There's bridal, which is just weird. And then companion to that, we have Brindle. There's Kylene. I saw Daryl for a girl, which is not as, doesn't really weird me out because I know Michael. I know a Michael for a boy. I also know a Kennedy for a boy. I saw a Malinda, not Malinda, M-A-L, not Melinda, Malinda, and I like that one so much, I'm working that one into a play. And which leads to, why do people have to mess with the spellings of names? I don't know, what's the motivation behind that? Like, I need my kid to have the special, unique, only one-way spelling of Jim? I don't know. I've seen Lindsay with three Z's, a Y at the beginning, and two E's at the end, and I'm just like, okay. And that leads me to the standards. I'm always interested in the names that, because we have the wacko ones, there's the celebrity ones, and then what about the names that just seem to keep on ticking? You know, there's always going to be a Sarah. There's always going to be an Anne or an Emily. You know, Brittany is not as old, but I think that one's got staying power. Amanda, the Christophers, the Timothys, the John, the James, you know, are they ever going to go out of style? I was just thinking about this one recently. I think there's still a lot of Roberts out there, but I haven't come across the name Bob in forever. And again, I was so thinking about that so much, I put a guy named Bob in a play. And what are the names that are falling out of favor? You know, what are the ones that are going to be left at the bottom of the pile? Like the Berthas and the Walters and the Gertrudes and the Ethels. And why did those names disappear? Other than they're not very pretty sounding. I don't know if that means anything. Is it because, you know, parents no longer pass down names as much as they used to? There's not that generational thing. So, to end, I think all of this blather that I have imparted onto you would make for an excellent writing exercise. Of course, right? It's December. Why not? So if you come across an extraordinary name, in fact, go search out. It's really easy. Go on the web and just type in odd baby names. Look for an extraordinary name, a name that seems a little more left of center, a name that you have not heard before. Write it down and think about what type of character would have this name. What personality would they have? And then write a monologue and the voice of that character based on the personality you feel the name symbolizes. And then as a companion scene, Think about the whole notion of what would lead a parent to give their child a certain name. You know, is it a family name, a surname on the mother's side, just because? Is it tradition or anti-tradition or what? So write a scene between two parents-to-be who are deciding on their soon-to-be-born baby's name, and one of the parents wants to use a family name that's far from popular, that's very traditional. And that's where we're going to end. That's it. That's all. Take care, my friends. Take care.